ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. Deep inside, there is so much joy. Deep inside, there is so much of happiness. Deep inside, there is so much of tranquility, being in Prashant Nilayam, soaking in the vibrations that is pulsating in Prashant Nilayam. And all of you, brothers and sisters, wherever you are, thanks to technology, we can feel the vibes of Prashanti through the live broadcast of the proceedings. It would have been so great to have so many brothers and sisters in Prashant Nilayam for the Dasara festival. But in these times, Bhagwan has at least enabled all of us to feel Prashanti in our homes through the live broadcast of the Yagnam that is going on. Today is the fourth day of the Dasara Yagnam, and in 3 days we will have the Purnahuti, the beautiful culmination of 7-day sadhana of worshipping the Divine through the beautiful facets of the Divine Mother. Every day in Prashant Nilayam is beautiful, and every day adds a chapter to His life story, Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. What you feel, what you experience, what you see, what you realize deep within is Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, and that is what Bhagwan's life is all about. You see truth, you see beauty, you see that goodness. Everything becomes auspicious when once God comes into the frame, and that's what happens when you come into Prashant Nilayam, when you get in touch with Prashant Nilayam, when you feel Prashant Nilayam wherever you are. In this series, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, in Outside Inside Deep Inside, it has been my endeavor to share with you beautiful episodes from Bhagwan's life from the early years. I started off this series with the intention of sharing with you stories from Bhagwan's life from the 1950s, 51 to 55. But as I started reading, as I started collecting beautiful tales from various documentations available and talking to people, I unearthed many beautiful tales from the early years, from even before 1950, from the times before the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir got inaugurated, which happened on 23rd November 1950. And I am unable to resist the urge to share with you these beautiful tales. These are written by various devotees who had the opportunity to be with Bhagwan in that era. We don't have many people who have done this documentation, but there are a few books. I've been reading The Divine Leelas of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba by Srimati Nagamani Purnaya, who was the wife of the chief commercial officer of railways in that era, of in the 1940s and the pre-independence era of India. And she was one of those devotees from Bengaluru, from the cities, who had the opportunity to bask in the physical presence of Bhagwan. And she had a camera, you know, she was reasonably educated to put things down. And that's how we have some documentation of these beautiful leelas. Other than that, we don't have many books. We have something that is written by Kuppam Vijayamma, Anyatha Shanam Nasti. We have a couple of books like that, Loknath Sai, Sri Sathya Sai Anandadai, Sri Sathya Sai Madhura Smriti, which was published recently. So, with joy, I share with you these beautiful tales from Bhagwan's life. as I mentioned before, though I wanted to focus on 1950s, but I will definitely take you back to the era before 1950 also, because these are stories you would not have heard, and these are stories which gives a glimpse of how it was to be with Bhagwan in that era when Bhagwan just announced his avatarhood, when people were just streaming into Prashanthi Nilayam, and when Bhagwan was traveling widely to Mumbai, initially to Chennai, to Bangalore, Mysore, and later on, of course, to Mumbai and the north of India. So there's one particular incident that Srimati Nagamani Purnaya records. One night, Bhagwan was taken in a procession by his devotees, and there was not enough light, and so they could not take a photograph of that happy occasion. And that's why the devotees requested Swami, we will retain all the decorations till the next morning. Can you please again sit on the palanquin so that we can take pictures? I mean, in those days you had this privilege. You could actually go and tell Swami, I missed taking the photograph. Please, can you pose again? I mean, impossible to think about such things in the later years. But, you know, the devotees at that point in time had that liberty to request even such things to Bhagwan, and Bhagwan obliged. Bhagwan said okay, and Swami sat on the palanquin the next day, and before Srimati Nagamani Purnaya could take those pictures, suddenly her husband sent for her and he said that we have to hurry up, we have to return to Bangalore. The husband had some work and he said we cannot stay. We just have to leave. We cannot wait for Bhagwan to sit on the palanquin and take pictures and leave. I'm going to get late. And so she had no option because the husband was insistent. And so she made an alternate arrangement. One of the photographers there offered to take the pictures with her camera. And he said he will return the film through her servant. So her servant stayed back and she gave the camera to this photographer, and they even informed Bhagwan saying that, Swami, this is the thing, we have to leave, and we are giving our camera to the servant. The servant will bring the film back to us. And they told all this to Swami, and before they were leaving, they just went to take leave of Bhagwan. And that time Swami said, are you sure you want to go now? Why don't you stay over till the next day? Why don't you stay? But Mr. Purnaya did not listen to Bhagwan, and he said, no, Swami, I have to go. He insisted that he has to go to Bangalore that day itself. And so Swami said, okay, as per your wish. And so Swami blessed and they left. And when Mr. and Mrs. Purnaya reached their car, which had been parked on the other side of the river, in those days, you have to cross the river Chitravati to come to Prashanthi Nilayam, to come to Puttaparthi. And so once they crossed the waters and went to the other side of river Chitravati, they found that the driver of the car had locked the car and had gone off somewhere. So they just sat under a tree and they didn't know. I mean, these are not the days of mobile phones or anything. You are talking about, you know, 1940s. So they didn't have any option but to sit under a tree and wait for the driver. They didn't know where he had gone, and he's locked the car. And so Srimati Purnaya, she was getting restless, and she said to her husband, you know, let us go back to Mandir. No, Swami also told us to go the next day. Let us go back to Mandir. But the husband said, no, we have to go. I have some urgent work. We have to go to Bangalore. And the husband was just getting more and more annoyed that the driver had done this. The driver had this audacity to leave the vehicle and go off somewhere, and when he has such an urgent work to go by Bangalore. And to add to their troubles, it was a very hot day. It was mid-noon. It was almost 12, and everyone was feeling thirsty. And all the water that they had brought also got exhausted. They were feeling hungry and thirsty and frustrated that they're not able to leave. and they had their youngest son also with them. And the son now started crying and started saying that, you know, I'm feeling so thirsty, I'm feeling so hungry and all that. And the couple didn't know what to do. And so the son said, you know, I want to go back to the mandir and I want to eat something. In those days, you know, there were hardly any shops or restaurants, nothing. In those days, absolutely, it was, Puttaparthi was barren. You didn't have anything, actually, no shops in Puttaparthi. I mean, in those days, absolutely, perhaps there isn't one shop, you know, which is serving tea, things like that. You didn't have any facilities. And so this son said, you know, I'm feeling so hungry. I'm going to go back to the mandir. I will ask the cook in the mandir to prepare some food because I'm really, really feeling so hungry. And so the couple didn't know what to do. And they said, okay, you go to mandir quickly, have something and come. And they waited. And they didn't want to go because they wanted to wait and see when the driver will come. They want to alert the drivers that they have to start immediately. So the boy went to the mandir. And the boy came after 2.5 hours. He came at 2 o'clock. And they asked, where are you? We have been searching for you. We have been waiting for you. And he says, oh no, I lost my way. I don't know. I was trying to go to the mandir, but I lost my way. And by the time I reached mandir, you know, I was just going all around the place. It took me so much time. It took him 2 hours to go to the mandir. And he said, after I went there, you know, the cook was there, but there was no rice. So the cook said, you wait. And the cook had to bring vegetables and rice and make the food. And it took so much time. And by the time this boy came, it was already 2-3 hours. And the driver came at 3:30. From morning, they have been waiting. The driver came at 3:30. And when Mr. Punyas scolded him and asked him to open the car, he tried to open the car, but the car was not opening. The car was just not opening. And now Mr. Purnia was so restless. Now he just went to the next village and he thought, you know, I just need to get out of here. So he brought another bullock cart and he asked the cart owner to take them to the main road. He thought, if I just reach the main road, somehow I will catch some bus and go to Bangalore. And so he found one bullock cart, and it was not a cart which is generally used to transport people. That was a cart that was being used to transport, you know, waste, transport rubbish actually. But Mr. Punea was so desperate to go to Bangalore, he said, doesn't matter. So he used that cart and he reached the main road. And when they reached the main road, that is when they were told that the last bus to Bangalore for the day had already passed by. And now Mrs. Purnaya did not know what to do. Whole day was lost trying to find some means to get started to Bangalore. And their driver was back. The driver could not proceed. The driver went back to the mandir. And he went and told Swami, and the driver fell at Bhagwan's feet and he told, this is what happened. I was scolded and, you know, the car was not starting and I didn't know what to do. And when he cried in front of Bhagwan, Swami gave him a key. And Swami said that this key was given to him. Swami said, the owner of that bullock cart gave this key to me, Swami said. The owner of that second bullock cart, which Mr. Nagamani Punea hired to reach the main road, Swami said, that owner gave me this key. And Swami gave that key to this driver. So the driver brought that key and he returned to the car. And once he opened, now the car started. And now when the car started, he drove fast and he reached the place where Mr. and Mrs. Purnia were waiting for any other convenience. They said the last bus is over, but they were just hoping they'll find something. They were on the road. And so the driver went there. It was dark by this time. It was late evening. The road was very bad. They could not travel. They could not travel further that night. They somehow started, but it was very, very difficult because in those days, no lights in the roads, hardly any roads. They're all kacha roads. And they had not had food. They didn't know where to sleep. And it was at this time that one kind gentleman opened the veranda of his house. And he said that, you know, you can sleep here because the owner of this house is not there. I'm the neighbor. If you want, you can lie down in the open veranda. And there was a reclining chair which Mr. Purnaya used to just catch some sleep. Their son slept in the car, and Mrs. Purnaya spread a mat on the veranda of that house, and she tried to lie down there. In the middle of the night, Mrs. Nagmuni Purnaya woke up terrified, because she just found a white cow standing next to her. She was sleeping and she was just stunned, you know, why this animal is standing next to her. And she was so frightened, she screamed, and she went to her husband. And that cow was a huge cow, and she got very scared. When she went to her husband, and, you know, the husband also was shocked. And in that whole shock, they were sitting on their veranda, and they were able to fall from that veranda, actually. And the husband tried to save her from falling from the veranda to the ground. It was about 5-6 feet. And in that whole process, Mrs. Purnaya's head hit against the nose of her husband, and, you know, both of them were hurt. And in the meanwhile, the cow disappeared. The cow had come from nowhere. The cow disappeared. And the whole night they spent somehow trying to catch some sleep and trying to just pass the night. 6 a.m. the next morning, they left for Bangalore. They wanted to leave 24 hours before. Swami said, don't go, but this is what happened. When they reached Bangalore, the car's electrical system developed some serious fault, and it cost them 500 rupees in those days. I mean, 500 rupees in those days is definitely perhaps 5,000, or not even 5, probably 20,000 or 50,000 now. I mean, 1947, 500 rupees it cost them to repair that car. And that was such a huge lesson for Mr. and Mrs. Purnaya, that even when Bhagavan says something casually, to never override your thoughts, your wishes, your understanding of the situation on Bhagavan's advice. They reached Bangalore only on the next day, just as Bhagavan had mentioned to them. The servant also reached the next day. And so what happened to the camera then? So the servant brought the camera, and when they examined the camera, they saw that the camera had no film. The photographer had told that he would click the pictures and he would give the film to the servant. But when the servant took the camera from the photographer changed the mind, and he said he would himself develop the film. In those days, you know, this analog films. He said, I will develop the film and I will send the pictures later. He changed his mind. And Mrs. Nagmuni Purnaya did not receive the prints for a long time. He wrote so many letters. She wrote so many letters to the photographer, asking her for those pictures, because they are so precious. She wanted to stay back actually to take those pictures. And those are pictures of Bhagwan on the palanquin, which they specially requested Swami to again sit so that they can take those pictures. They are so precious. And the photographer said he will send the film, and he did not. And he said he will develop. And now when she's writing letters to him, there are no response. And finally, one day he responds saying, no, he already sent the film along with the camera through the servant. And the servant says, no, he told me he will send it later. He told me he will develop the films. And in this whole process, Nagmuni Purnaya, she was feeling so sad. First of all, they should have just stayed. They did not listen to Swami. They had to go through one whole day of ordeals, and now not even those pictures. So when she went next to Puttaparthi, she told Swami how they lost the film, and Swami told her, don't worry, the film is still there. It is there with the photographer. And 6 months later, when they went to Puttaparthi again, that was the time of Dasara celebrations, when they were in Parthi once again, this time she took her camera and she took a new film roll. She wanted to take pictures of Bhagwan again, of Bhagwan, during the Dasara celebrations. And she says, when she opened the camera to put the new film roll, she saw that the camera already was loaded and had a film roll, and that film roll was already exposed. And when she took that roll and developed and printed that, she found that the photographs were those that were taken on the previous occasion, which the photographer had denied having taken away with him. Mysteriously, when Bhagwan said, "Don't worry, the photo film is still there," when she came 6 months later, Bhagwan had ensured that the film that she longed for was back in the camera, and she had the blessing of developing those pictures, the pictures for which Bhagwan graciously posed again, and which had caused so much pain to Nagmani Purnaya that she missed the opportunity. Bhagwan always says that once you repent for your mistakes, I am there. I am the most loving Lord. I will take care of you. I will sort out everything for you. Once they realize that they should not have done that, they should not have left. And when she poured her heart out to Swami, Swami ensured that all the joys that she longed for, the divine moments of bliss that she was pining for, were not denied to her. And that is why she says, if you believe in God, He does wonders for you. He does wonders for you. That's what she writes in the Divine Leela of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Another incident she narrates, all little stories, but each one was giving the devotees instructions, pointers as to how it is to live with Bhagwan, how they should be serious about everything. They cannot take Swami lightly just because he is moving with them and talking with them or playing with them. He is so casual with them, because with the divine, there is no moment which is casual. Once a devotee, after having stayed in Puttaparthi for some time, wanted to return home, and Swami asked him to stay for another day and then go. But this devotee and his people, just like Mr. Purnaya before, insisted on going the same day, and they didn't listen to Swami and they started off. And on the way they had to cross a village, and at a certain point the track was very marshy and slushy with stagnant water, and the driver then drove the car right through the marshy ditch, and as he was trying to do, the car got stuck, and the occupants of the car could not come out of the car. There was no one around to lend a helping hand to bring the car out of that ditch. The people could not come out of the car. They had no option but to just stay inside the car the whole night. Next morning, when they saw some villagers passing by, they called out to them for help. And that is how the car was brought out of the ditch. If you don't listen to Swami, you are just putting yourself into the ditch. When Bhagwan says, do not do it, and we do it, then obviously we are digging our own ditch. There are so many such instances which happened in those early years, and when people atoned for their disobedience, these people, they came back to Puttaparthi and they cried in front of Bhagwan and they sought his pardon for not obeying him, and Swami then just blessed them and he sent them with blessings and with assurance of his protection. But I think these were moments sometimes when we don't learn the lessons in the easy way. Bhagwan had to ensure that the lesson is driven home in a manner that we don't forget. Similarly, another occasion, a family of devotees had come to stay at Puttaparthi for some time, and at the end of their stay, when they asked his permission to leave, Swami said, "You can go tomorrow." And these devotees felt, if Swami says that we should go tomorrow, maybe that is what we should do. And so they stayed back. Even though they had urgent work for them back home, they just stayed back. And next day, when they were about to leave, suddenly the head of the family fell ill. He became unconscious and he started frothing in his mouth. And in those days, of course, you had no one to help you, no hospital, nothing. So all the devotees, they just rushed to Swami, crying, "Swami, Swami, Swami, he's so ill, there are froth coming out of his mouth." And Swami immediately came there. He materialized Vibhuti with a wave of his hand and he put it in the mouth of that man. And immediately the frothing in the mouth stopped and the man regained consciousness. And then Bhagwan said, "There was a danger to his life today. That is why I had stopped your journey yesterday. Now you can go. There is no fear. Hereafter there is no fear. You can safely go home now." And the devotees didn't know how to express their gratitude to Bhagwan. "Oh Lord, you are the savior of all of us. If not for you, what would have happened to us? You are the one who is the master of time. You are the predictor of our destiny. You are the one who is our eternal guardian, our protector. Let your benevolence be with us at all times, in all places." They prostrated at Bhagwan's feet and they returned with lighter hearts, knowing that it is his grace that is covering them and they are going to be safe. If you listen to Bhagwan, you know that when he assures, "Why fear when I am here?" He is always there. He is always there. But it is up to us to surrender, up to us to unquestioningly obey. Saisha Sharanam, Sharanam Saisha. In those days, devotees used to sing these bhajans, offering their all to Bhagwan. Having witnessed these leelas of Bhagwan, they know that he is the Isha, he is the Divine Lord. This Sai is the Isha. He is the God of gods. And that is how you have so many beautiful bhajans from those early era, glorifying Bhagwan, sung by these devotees.
Saisha Sharanam, Sharanam Saisha.
Saisha Sharanam, Sharanam Saisha.
Saisha Sharanam, Sharanam Saisha.
Saisha Sharanam, Sharanam Saisha.
Satya Shivatmak Sundar Isha.
Satya Shivatmak Sundar Isha.
Satya Shivatmak Sundar Isha.
Satya Shivatmak Sundar Isha.
Saisha Sharanam, Sharanam Saisha. సాయి తాండవ రుద్ర సదా శివ సాయి తాండవ రుద్ర సదా శివ సాయి కరుణా సాగర రాఘవ సాయి కరుణా సాగర రాఘవ సాయి కరుణా సాగర రాఘవ సాయి కరుణా రాఘవ సాయి గాన మనోహర మాధవ సాయి గాన మనోహర మాధవ సాయి మాధవ సాయి హే మాధవ సాయి మాధవ సాయి హే మాధవ సాయి మాధవ సాయి హే రాఘవ సాయి మాధవ సాయి హే రాఘవ సాయి ప్రదాయక శాంభవ సాయి బుద్ధి ప్రదాయక శాంభవ సాయి సారీశ శరణం శరణం సారీశ సారీశ శరణం తాండవ రుద్ర సదా శివ సాయి తాండవ రుద్ర సదా శివ సాయి కరుణా సాగర రాఘవ సాయి కరుణా సాగర రాఘవ సాయి కరుణా సాగర రాఘవ సాయి కరుణా సాగర రాఘవ సాయి గాన మనోహర మాధవ సాయి గాన మనోహర మాధవ సాయి మాధవ సాయి హే మాధవ సాయి మాధవ సాయి హే మాధవ సాయి మాధవ సాయి హే రాఘవ సాయి మాధవ సాయి హే రాఘవ సాయి బుద్ధి ప్రదాయక శాంభవ సాయి బుద్ధి ప్రదాయక శాంభవ సాయి తాండవ రుద్ర సదా శివ సాయి తాండవ రుద్ర సదా శివ సాయి కరుణా సాగర రాఘవ సాయి కరుణా సాగర రాఘవ సాయి కరుణా సాగర.
సో దట్ ఇస్ one of those beautiful melodies of the yesteryears, Saisha Sharanam, Sharanam Saisha. We don't sing this bhajan often, but there are so many such melodies. But as you listen to these beautiful bhajans of the yesteryears and listen to these leelas, you can just imagine, visualize how it was for those devotees. You know, you experience so much of Bhagwan so palpably, and you cannot but express your love, your surrender to him unquestioningly. And these are those bhajans which take you back to those olden golden days. Once an officer of the government who was Bhagwan's devotee had come to Puttaparthi with his family, and after spending a happy month with Bhagwan, he wanted to return. He had to rejoin duty. So he asked Bhagwan's permission to go, and Swami said, stay here for some more time. And the officer now was in a fix, because on one hand he did not want to disobey Swami, but at the same time he was afraid that if he does not join duty in time, he would get into serious trouble. And if he was afraid that he might lose his job if he does not join the duty. And if he lost the job, then he would have no other means of earning. So he talked about his dilemma to his wife, and he told his mother. But he decided that he will wait, because if Swami has said that wait, then he felt it is better that I don't disobey Swami. At the end of 30 days, Swami called him and the family again. And now Swami said, go home, you have my blessings. And he left Parthi, and he was constantly worried what would have happened to his job. And he was imagining what would he do if he was removed from his job. And so with a lot of fear, he went back to his office. And when he went to his superior officer, the officer told him, okay, mister, you come after a week, because when you were not there, there were some changes in the administrative structure of the office, and you have been promoted to a higher post, and you can join as the higher officer after a week. So there's no need for you to come now. And the person could not believe his ears. He was thinking he will probably lose his job, but his boss tells him that he has got a promotion. And I think there are any number of such tales when you look at Bhagavan's life, the lives of devotees who have Bhagavan in their lives. It's just that so many instances used to happen in physical proximity of Bhagavan, with direct interaction with Bhagavan in those days, because many people had the opportunity to talk to Swami. Many opportunities were there for people to interact with Swami in those early years. Whoever was blessed with, many people did not have, few people had, but they had these opportunities to talk. But now, whoever is a devotee, wherever they are, we experience this, isn't it? Once you think of him and do his work, you see how he works out everything. Once you keep him, make him the center of your life. And even as this was going on, we always have doubts. Every time, the reason we don't experience the palpable presence of Bhagavan most of the time is sometime our faith is not as solid as it used to be. And there are always such people when it came to accepting Bhagavan. In fact, once there were four people who came to Prashantalam. They wanted to test Swami. They were not convinced, and they had told others that the Sai Baba is not God. And so what they told is, on the way to Puttaparthi, they are going to exchange their wrist watches. And they had told the other people there, see, once we reach there, if Bhagavan is God, then he should know in whose wrist watch is there the watch of the other. And when they came to the mandir, these are again in the 40s, when these people came to the mandir, Swami just called them and Swami said, I know why you have come, and what you were talking on the way to Puttaparthi. I know you have exchanged your watches. You have come to test me. This is not the place for you. Swami said, this is a place for devotees. This is not the place for you. You go back. Go back to where you have come from. This place is not meant for you. Prashanti is not meant for skeptics. Prashanti is not meant for people of little faith. Bhagavan is telling, you can make most of this place only if you have faith. Because faith is the bedrock of spirituality. Faith is from where the spiritual journey begins. First you have to take that into your heart that He is there and He is all pervading. Bhagwan in those days was so kind enough to even talk to these people even though they had come to test Him. But Swami said, go back. This place is not meant for people like you. There's another devotee whose wife was suffering from tuberculosis and they came to Puttaparthi and they pleaded with Swami to show mercy towards them and to cure the lady of her disease, save her life. And Bhagwan very compassionately materialized a bottle which had rose colored liquid. And Swami gave the bottle to the woman and Swami said, take this medicine every day in small doses. And the couple, husband and wife, they were so happy. They had come to Bhagwan for a cure of the wife's tuberculosis. And in those days, I mean, there were absolutely no medicines. People won't even know that, you know, they have such a disease. And Bhagwan gave them medicine. So they were going back happily. But on the way, while they were talking about various things, one of them in the family expressed, I don't know if this medicine is really going to cure her of her disease. It looked so funny. It's some red colored liquid. I don't know if this will really cure her of TB. And he just expressed that. And when they reached home, the husband now looked for that bottle in the suitcase and he saw that the bottle was not there. And he was so stunned because he had packed it, Bhagwan had materialized, he had packed it, he had kept it very carefully inside the box and now it was not there. So they immediately came back to Puttaparthi because they had no cure. Here was someone who had given them a cure, but suddenly the cure was missing. They came back to Puttaparthi and told Swami, the medicine that you gave, I don't know how, it has just disappeared. And Swami said, why should you have the medicine? Anyway, you don't have belief in its efficacy. You don't believe in the power of the medicine. Why should you have the medicine? And they were so ashamed. Why did they doubt Bhagwan? And they pleaded with Bhagwan for forgiveness. And Bhagwan readily forgives those who repent for their faults. And Bhagwan, of course, blessed them again. Time and again, this is what perhaps we have seen in our lives too. When our faith is rock solid, miracles happen. And if we are not able to feel His presence, somewhere we need to add more power to our faith. Somewhere we need to bolster this most important ingredient of going close to Bhagwan. Whatever He says, without using our head, it should go straight to our heart. Because He is beyond time. He is beyond our little minds. There was once an 18-year-old boy in Puttaparthi. And this boy had come to see Bhagwan. Suddenly this boy developed high fever. His temperature used to reach 103 in the evenings. But in the mornings he used to be normal. And this was going on every day. And Swami told this boy to eat all the food that was given to him in the mandir. Again in the 40s. So Swami told him, eat well, eat well. But the boy's fever continued. High fever in the evenings, mornings he would be fine. And some said he's suffering from typhoid. So the boy sent a telegram to his parents through a friend. He did not tell Swami, but he just sent this information to the to his parents saying that he is not keeping well. And interestingly, at every meal, Swami would force this boy to eat food, and the boy would be struggling to eat much, but the other devotees also would tell him, Swami is telling you to eat, so you eat. And in fact, he was eating, and after some time he developed diarrhea also. And one day, even while he was having food, he was feeling very uncomfortable in his stomach, but Swami would not allow him to go, and Swami would ask him to finish the food. And that day, Swami just stood there and told him, Swami said, you eat, no problem. And once he ate, he just followed Swami. Once he did that, that day the diarrhea stopped. Even though his stomach was upset, and even though he was not feeling like eating, Swami said, you eat. And he ate, and that day, diarrhea stopped. His temperature also became normal. And after that, Swami showed that boy that telegram that he had supposedly had sent secretly to his parents. And the boy was stunned to see the telegram. He had sent the telegram to his parents. How is it in Swami's hands? Swami said, nothing can be done without my knowledge. In fact, Swami had ensured that the telegram never reached the parents. Swami did not want the parents to know that the boy is not feeling well, because Swami himself is there taking after the boy. And Swami told, nothing can be done without my knowledge. If we just listen to Swami, no matter what he says, close your eyes, close your mind and just follow. You don't need anyone else. Everything will just fall into place. In fact, the devotees used to say that when the boy used to sleep in the night, Swami would come and spread his own bed beside the boy's bed, and he would sleep next to him just to comfort him, just to give him solace and courage. I mean, that is the extent to which Bhagwan in those days used to take care of the devotees physically. He has been taking care, and even now he takes care in his own way. But in those days, the people who were fortunate to come to him had this opportunity to physically experience this love of Bhagwan, which can never be fathomed. I'm reminded of another very beautiful instance that happened in that era. One of Bhagwan's devotees in Bangalore was conducting bhajan session, and very devotedly, all the members of the family and relatives, they were doing these bhajans every Thursday. And this devotee, he had written Om Shri Sai Ram 10 million times, and he was arranging Akhanda Bhajan every year. So one particular year, he had made elaborate arrangements for Abhishekam and Mahamangala Arati. And Bhagwan was present on that occasion, and thousands of devotees had gathered for that bhajan. Bhagwan was wearing a yellow robe, and Bhagwan's eyes and face was so resplendent, and Bhagwan was exuding so much joy. And he wanted to do Abhishekam to a bust of Shirdi Sai. And when Swami looked at that image of Shirdi Sai, Swami said, no, we need a full image of Shirdi Sai. We need a full image of Shirdi Sai for Abhisheka. And immediately Bhagwan waved his hand, and a 6-inch big idol of Shirdi Baba appeared on his hand, and Bhagwan gave this to the devotee, and Swami said, you do Abhishekam and Mangala Arati to this shrine of Baba. I am reminded of how Dasara in the early years used to be filled with the Vibhuti Sundara Sai, Bhagwan enveloping in a deluge of Vibhuti the statue of Shirdi Sai. In those days, Bhagwan in this devotee's house manifested a beautiful statue of Shirdi Sai and said, do the Abhishekam. Festivals in those days were so grand occasions, beautiful flowers, beautiful labor of love of people coming from Bangalore, Mysuru, and they used to so devotedly decorate the mandir as per Bhagwan's instructions. There would be these rangolis of different shapes and sizes artistically designed. There would be petals of flowers of different colors, again arranged in very aesthetic pattern on the path that Bhagwan was to walk on. There would always be the palanquin decked with flowers, and Bhagwan would go in procession. And devotees would vie with one another to carry the palanquin. Some would walk ahead of the palanquin singing bhajans, and Swami would be giving blessings to all from the palanquin. And they would see that on from Bhagwan's face, vibhuti, kumkum and sandal paste would emerge as Bhagwan would be taken in possession. That is how Dasara was in those days. They used to take Bhagwan in possession every day. They would decorate, they would have different palanquins. Palanquin as a peacock, palanquin as a chariot, palanquin as a swan, and so on. And as they would take Bhagwan, these vibhuti kumkum would emerge from Bhagwan's forehead. And there were times when suddenly Swami would leave his body and go in trance. And he would have gone just to save someone, and people would just be looking at Bhagwan, waiting for him to come back. His body would become cold, his pulse would stop, but once he comes back, suddenly vibhuti would fall out of his mouth profusely. And there were times when they saw that brilliant third eye of Shiva on Bhagwan's head, forehead. I mean, that is the glory of those beautiful Dasara celebrations of the 40s. And as we celebrate Dasara now, you cannot but think about those amazing times that the devotees in that era had with Bhagwan. Shrimati Nagmani Purnaya says, "Swami, with many namaskarams to you, accept this my fervent prayer. I'm offering it to you with all my devotion. You are Sachidananda. You are the Lord of all the worlds. You are the lotus-eyed one. You are the one who frees us of all the sins. You are the ocean of mercy. You are the granter of all our desires. You are all-knowing. You grant us that bountiful mercy. Thy bountiful mercy is your darshan, which I long for. Please grant the good fortune to touch your feet. Give me opportunities without number to converse with you, to serve you. Having known you as the giver of heaven, I only want to reach your lotus feet. God Almighty of the universe, the savior of our devotees, the indweller in the hearts of your devotees, the lover of your devotees. O Sainatha, take possession of my heart. Bestow your blessings. You are the giver of devotion. You are the giver of mukti. You are the builder of devotion in my heart. You are the dweller of the universe. You are the one with Shankha Chakra. You are the one holding Vibhuti and Vigraha. O Sainatha, prostrations at your feet." This is how Srimati Nagmani Purnaya pours her heart out, thinking about those divine glories of Bhagwan from the yesteryears. Dear listeners, many more tales we will soak ourselves in the coming episodes of Satyam Shivam Sundaram, in Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Let us fill ourselves with this vibhuti. Vibhuti also means glory and grace. With this vibhuti, as we celebrate Dasara, as we soak ourselves with this beautiful chants and charming stories of the Lord, and sanctify our Navaratri, I offer this little endeavor at his lotus feet with gratitude, humility and love. Pray to Swami that we'll continue this in the coming episodes. As always, if you have anything to share, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.